South Africans have become less and less inclined to vote over the last couple of elections. Now, I suppose we're not the only one when it comes to, democracy. We've seen a similar trend in other parts of the world, and then you have something of a hot-button topic that gets everybody else interested in. You have a greater voter turnout. But as the country's economy went into a downward spiral, with corruption and state capture escalating, it seems that many South Africans might have become, well, nonchalant with the system, or just, on the verge of giving up hope. Well, surveys and reports over the past month gave clear indications that voter figures will again decrease in the November local elections. Now, is it time that voting becomes compulsory? As in the case of, well, I believe 22 countries globally, we explore this matter, that should voting become compulsory, or at least for a certain segment of the population, with ASRI Director of Strategy, Sabiha Mutada. Assalamu alaikum, Sabiha.
Wa alaikum salam, JazakAllah for having me.
Sabiha, before we talk about the low voter turnout that we have been experiencing, for a while now, and what some may say is going to be anticipated as well, noting those who have registered 1st of November, I mean, what are the early predictions? Are we going to see low voter turnout, and we're going to see maybe different figures in politics make their mark this municipal election?
I think you've pointed out a number of interesting things, such as apathy with the electoral system. There are those that think that the party-based system doesn't serve its purpose anymore. There are those that are sort of giving in to the status quo of corruption, maladministration that runs this country, and indeed benefits a lot of people in terms of being able to circumvent the laws quite easily. And then you've also got a completely different playing field now, where more than ever, we're seeing a large number of independent candidates running in different wards. So I think that we are in some unprecedented times, and possibly very unpredictable how these elections are going to turn out.
So there are 22 countries that have made voting mandatory. I mean, you have to vote. Unsure of the exact details, that whether it requires you to vote in your municipal or your national elections or both, but is this a move that could counter lower turnout and abstentions, or is it likely to just merely make the legal system even more complex, noting that if you don't want to vote, you don't want to show up on that particular day? And noting, of course, voting doesn't mean that you have to vote for a party. A person could go to register to vote, but could intentionally, as a sign of a protest, they could, spoil the ballot and put it inside the box. What's your thoughts on mandatory voting?
So, as you've explained, there are a number of countries where voting is compulsory. And if we kind of look at some of those countries, the voter turnout is relatively high. For example, the voter turnout in the 2019 election in Australia was at 91%. In Brazil, you also have compulsory voting, even for citizens that live abroad. And they also had a really high rate. Belgium as well had a high rate of voter turnout, being 85 to 95%. Compared to South Africa, where the voter turnout for the last national elections in 2019 was at just 66%. And even in 1994, which was, possibly the peak of South African voter optimism, the turnout was about 87%, just the lower than in some of the countries where voting is compulsory. But you pointed to another problem that could come with compulsory voting, is how do we then apply those laws? If you have, for example, 25% of the voting population that don't turn up, how do you enforce that? If there is a fine or whatever the case may be imposed for those voters. And this is a problem that Belgium has seen, where they don't necessarily hold voters who don't turn up liable for failing to present themselves. But I think also there are a number of sort of other pros and cons that we can consider. Would voter turnout improve democratic process and give the government more legitimacy if more people are turning up to have their say? That's a big question. Would it force people to become more politically aware? and develop a political opinion if they're now forced to exercise their vote. And another issue you mentioned, though, is that sometimes turning up to vote or not turning up to vote is a political act in itself, where it could demonstrate a rejection of the legal system, of the voting system, and of the government, and of the legitimacy of the means that we use to choose the government. So where then do we draw the line in terms of people exercising their political freedom?
Samira, you know, different countries, of course, might have different sentiments, whether it is towards their flag or whether it is towards the voting process or other things for that matter. I mean, South Africa is considered a young democracy. I mean, we're only 20 plus, nearly 30 years into the current, dispensation, this current democracy that we are in. You have other countries that are over 100, 200 years old, as in the case of the U.S., where they've seen that system, for a longer period, in time. Now, in the case of South Africa, is it correct to view the voting process as, let me put it this way, sentimental, that many people who have died for that struggle, of course, they are not around, but their family members and their party associates and their friends still happen to be alive. Would it be considered as, something as unpatriotic, undutiful as a South African, unwilling or, disappreciative of the memory of this community who have given the ultimate sacrifice not to vote?
I think that's an incredibly important aspect to consider in South Africa. That is essentially the legacy that's left behind by those who fought and died for our freedom to vote. And it is indeed something that's sort of drilled into South Africans of all ages, from school all the way to, the elderly, that there are those who came before us and we stand on their shoulders. And that's an important question, whether the way we honor that legacy and the sacrifice made by them is to ensure that people do exercise the right to vote. However, it can also be argued that those people fought and died for our right to exercise our political views in the way that we choose, which is why it's also important to consider that not voting, abstaining, or even spoiling votes is indeed a political expression. So that's a variety of factors to consider. And then indeed the electoral system itself, the party-based electoral system, arguably that could also be viewed as a sentimental system, considering that it favored, when the time was appropriate, parties that did indeed lead the sort of political social justice revolution in South Africa. And the question now is whether those parties have honored that system that put them in power, and whether it's still appropriate for us to be, making use of that voting system as change.
You raise an interesting point, Ms. Sabia, about not voting or spoiling a ballot as a form of protest. We've seen it in previous elections here in South Africa, elsewhere as well, the call being made, to spoil a ballot or not to show up in the form of protest action. But at the end of the day, I mean, has this proven to be a successful form of protest, that you showed up on the day, you spoiled your ballot, and now what? I mean, is that actual protest registered by the authorities that be, that we've had sufficient people who are unwilling to vote and we should take cognizance of why they are not voting?
That's a really interesting question. And the fact is that in South Africa, these, as they're called, invalid votes are at a much smaller percentage than in countries where voting is actually compulsory. So in the last South African elections, the invalid votes were around 1 to 1.3%, whereas these are sitting at 5.5% in Brazil, and in Australia Australia at 5.5%, 16% in Brazil, and 6% in Belgium. So that begs the question whether forcing people to vote, it means that people are just voting with safe of it, and there's a high number of invalid votes, which might have an effect on the results. The fact that it's a relatively small number of people who do spoil those votes, it is a valid political expression. It's one that should be considered, but when numbers are so small, it doesn't necessarily seem to make a difference. But what's really important, though, is that there are other political opportunities for political expression, for participating in a democracy. A lot of sort of emphasis is put on elections, which come around once every few years. But there are other ways in which citizens, even people who have not voted, have an opportunity to participate in the democratic process and to participate and express their politics. So, for example, members of the public can still hold political representatives accountable by calling them to order on laws that they don't follow. They can participate in sending petitions to their local municipalities and to the government, commenting on pieces of legislation. Or passing through the systems of government. Protesting is a form of democratic and political expression that is very safeguarded in our country, given its history. You know, you have opportunities to lobby your councillor, to contribute to research for policy advocacy. So it's really important to remember that voting is not sort of the end all of participation in our democracy and in exercising your political rights.
Samir Mutala, shukran jazakumullah khairan for joining us on Radio Islam International this evening here and talking to us about, well, voting mandatory or not, an interesting subject that I suppose requires a bit more in-depth discussion and in comparison, and maybe that day will come or not, we'll see. But thank you for your time, Samir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Samir Mutala Asli, Director of Strategy, talking to us about voting. Should it be made mandatory or not? Well, there are countries, but you know, mind you, I've been looking at these countries, what your Finland, Australia, etc. Although they have it as, you know, that it's compulsory to vote, they do not, and they never have, I believe, prosecuted anybody who refused to exercise their right of showing up on that day. Simply because it will be impossible to do so, even in their elections. You may have 50-60% turnout, but the other 40% eligible voters, they sometimes number, practically do in a case like Australia and Germany, they would number in the millions. Now, what does that mean? You're going to throw a few million people in jail, in prison? You're going to fine a few million people, and in the advent that they refuse to pay or that they contest their fines, you are going to merely clog the legal system. The judges are going to get upset at the politicians that, you know, you bringing your nonsense right here by making it mandatory for people to vote in the first place. How in the world is this possible? Now, in smaller countries or countries that have got a smaller population, what like your Costa Rica, etc., Ecuador, where you're sitting at, you know, 6-7 million people, that it might be a bit more easier to enforce such laws that it makes it that you know your country makes it mandatory that you need to show up or you need to register for a special ballot in the case of a person who is unable or physically incapable for traveling or something of that sort on the day itself that they are unable to show up at the poll to vote. So should it be made mandatory that a person shows up and vote? Is a discussion that South Africa might need to have sooner or later. However, voter turnout on the day itself has always been dismal. And it's also an indication that is democracy the way to go? I don't know, many people out there, democracy lovers out there, would now disagree. So, oh, you know what, this is the way to go. But from an African point of view, from an Asian point of view, in fact, much of Europe for that matter, well, democracy has not worked for all countries, and it is a newer system. And apparently, there are many other systems that are running that are not considered to be democratic in any way that are doing absolutely fine. You look at your autocratic systems, your Qataris, your Saudi Arabia, etc. Yes, of course, there are issues when it comes to the actual government of the country itself, but by way of the population being relatively well looked after. And I cite especially the Gulf states, your Brunei, etc. Yes, there may be complaints about an autocratic system above them, but it seems that the people have, quite happy by way of service delivery, education, healthcare, which ultimately is what the folks and what the people want. And it doesn't mean that if a system now becomes democratic, they're all of a sudden going to give you better rights to your deen, to your freedom, to your personal freedom. Doesn't work in that way. It all boils down to the individual, doesn't it? That the individual has to be a righteous individual by way of a leader.